That's awesome. Well, we continue in our series on prayers of the Old Testament. We've found that there's many different voices of prayer, and we're only going to spend 2 more weeks. In the last 2 weeks, I want to look particularly at the book of Psalms. You know, I haven't quoted from this Philip Yancey book, Prayer, Does It Make Any Difference, for a while, but on page 172, he writes, the book of Psalms offers a practicum in how to pray. And then he quotes John Calvin. It is my custom to call this book an anatomy of all the parts of the soul, since there is no emotion anyone will experience whose image is not reflected in this mirror. Fear, praise, anxiety, anger, love, sorrow, despair, gratitude, grief, doubt, suffering, joy, vengeance, repentance, every human emotion and experience surges to the surface in these prayer poems of the Psalms. And an interesting fact that he includes in the book is that when Hitler's Reich Board for the Regulation of Literature tried to fine Dietrich Bonhoeffer for publishing a book on the Psalms because it was a part of the Jewish Old Testament, they charged, Bonhoeffer successfully appealed by arguing that the Psalms were the prayer book of Jesus. Interesting when we look at the different wonderful Psalms. And each week I've written questions. I've said, you know, you can interact with those. They're on our website. You know, another way that you could share these is to ask a friend. In this time of isolation, give them a call and say, ask one of these questions that you think might be interesting. So the questions for this week are, number one, we pray to share our feelings, thoughts, and desires with God. So have there been times when you think God has forgotten you? Do you think that God forgets? Do you believe that there is anything that God forgets? Is God even capable of forgetting? Those questions are questions to struggle with a little bit. As we look at today, Psalm 13, it's a psalm that's an expression of grief by an Israelite. Now, the superscription, that's the little words before the psalm, say that it is David, or it is a psalm of David. We don't know for sure whether those things are true. Scholars have some disagreements, but those superscriptions tend to guide us. And this one includes a direction that is given to the leader, how to evoke this psalm as you say it. Now, most of the psalms, 116 of the 150 psalms, bear these superscriptions. Not all of them do. But when they ask questions that prepare us as we go into it. And this psalm opens with a temporal question. How long? I picture a little child waiting for summer camp to arrive. How long? Or a trip to Disneyland. How long? Those kinds of things are anxious moments of positive joy. But what about the person who's just been diagnosed with arthritis? How long is this leg going to hurt? How long am I going to be suffering? Here are the words from Psalm 13 as David thinks through how long. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider me and answer me, Oh, Lord, my God, give light to my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death. And my enemy will say, ha, ha, I have prevailed. My foes will rejoice because I am shaken. But I trusted in your steadfast love, your chesed. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. May God bless the readings of his holy word. Will you pray with me, Lord God? As we considered, what does it mean? Can God forget? Does God remember? What does that mean for our lives? Open our hearts to feel the pathos of this psalm. The aching in our lives when we feel lost. When we hear nothing back from the universe. And give us confidence in your constant presence. And your ability to tolerate our anger, our woes, our fears, our weakness. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, is God capable of forgetting? You know, this coming year will be my 50th high school reunion at Hoover High. Imagine what it'd be like to go back to your high school 50 years later. Imagine what it's like to be a young gal who's now got an aged body, but when she remembers these halls, she remembers pep rallies and dances and all the fun things. She also remembers classmates, and she remembers teachers and faculty. But now, 50 years later, this high school, as she walks through the halls, seems somehow different. Oh, it's familiar. It recalls ghosts from her past. But then, in her aloneness, she turns a corner and she sees a familiar face. It's one of her old teachers. He was a young man right out of college. But now he's not so young. Now his hair is gray and he's probably nearing retirement. And the two of them catch eye contact for just a moment. And then he smiles with that smile of recognition. He speaks her name. That's all. And you know what? That's enough. All she really needed on that occasion of visiting her old school was for just one person to say her name. Someone who remembered her. And then there's God. God doesn't have simply a perfect memory. He has the highest form of memory. He has the memory of an elephant. He has the memory of a mother. God's memory is like no one else. God is memory. And yet, curiously, God can also forget. So what is it that God cannot and can forget? What God cannot forget is that God cares. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? David asks. Really? God, are you still ignoring me? Can you really forget me forever? And then this author, David, doesn't let up. How long will you hide your face from me? This is an expression that's a reference to a more powerful person looking away. I don't see you. You know, maybe a little bit like Dorothy in front of the wizard in Wizard of Oz, and how his mighty voice scares her. You know, this is an image of a of a God that's hidden from this person. The Latin for that is Deus Abscondicus or Deus Otosius, the idol God, who is withdrawn from the world and its inhabitants, its whole creation, so that they can fend for themselves. Is that how God works? Has God just left us in our COVID isolation and gone away? Has God left us to riots and wars and constant aggravation? How long are you going to ignore me, God? This psalm is raw and bitter and harsh. Do you know what that says? It says that we can be bitter and harsh as we deal with our pain and anger before God. The psalmist does that. You think God has forgotten you? Well, there are some things that God cannot forget. And you are one of them. God may be omnipotent, but this is one thing God cannot do. God, we're told, cannot forget you. In Isaiah chapter 49, verse 14 through 16, but Zion said, I don't get it. God has left me. My master has forgotten I even exist. Can a mother forget the infant at her breast? Walk away from the baby she bore. But even if a mother forgets, I'd never forget you, says God. Never. Look, I've written your names on the back of my hands. The walls you're rebuilding are never out of my sight. This is an interesting comment about God. God can't forget. He's like me when I go to the grocery store and I write on my hand, these are the things my wife tells me to get, so I don't forget. But this is in indelible ink. My name is written on the back of God's hand so that he can always access me. Bill. Oh, yeah. That's that guy. Uh-huh. But he's one of my children. He's one that I love. You, your name is tattooed. You know, they tattooed in those days. They used needles and ink and tattooed. Oftentimes it was for some holy reason that they wanted to remember. But in this case, it's God himself that tattoos the remembrance. It's quite amazing. God cannot forget us. Yet the psalmist seems to say he does forget. What can we do when our mind is telling us something that our heart does not want to believe? When we feel lost, left alone, these prayers are maybe the deepest prayers of all. We think that maybe God has abandoned us. Our heart doesn't believe it. Isn't this what is called the trial or the testing of our faith? 1 Peter 4 says, Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place among you. To test you as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice insofar as you are sharing Christ's suffering, so that you may also be glad and shout for joy when his glory is revealed. It's never fun to go through trials, never. But to remember that somebody else went through trials for you can help calm the nerves. We can be glad that Christ ultimately died for our salvation. And that's what kept the Christian church, fledgling as it was, underserved as it was, so powerful in the Roman world. Because love pervaded over it all. So, what should we do? You know, at this time of high school and college graduations, I've been walking around the neighborhood and people put signs on their lawns celebrating. One girl had a big balloon that said, "Happy graduation from Saugus High." But I thought, they can't do the kinds of things we did when I graduated high school. We went to Disneyland. We were around people. We were with people. We took busloads. In this crowded place, I'll never forget, grad night, about 11 o'clock, I met a girl who lived a long ways away from me, and we had the next hour of delight, enjoying getting to know each other. Together! But not now. Maybe we need to have a conversation with the psalmist, or as the psalmist had with God. How long, God, will COVID last? And yet, even when the psalmist feels ignored or forgotten, he uses this great Hebrew word, chesed. It means steadfast loyalty. Loyalty that never wavers. Loyalty that will stand with us through the storms of life and never let us down. Lately, many of you know Carol Howenstein, one of our dear members, is remembering her dear husband, Don. And at this time of coronavirus and the isolation, she longs to have her dear, beloved husband celebrated. She has called me numerous times. We are working out trying to do some kind of celebration. And I'm recalling, because preceding Don's death, he had Alzheimer's, and I'm recalling something that was said by the author Martin Copenhaver. He said, "I can remember that when my father died quite suddenly, we went to tell my grandmother the news that she was no longer capable of comprehending. In a sense, dementia saved her from her grief. So there was some comfort in that. Yet still, her only child had died, and it seemed unspeakably sad that she could not remember him, or recognize his name, or mark the loss. The prophet Isaiah asked, 'Can a woman forget her nursing child, or show no compassion to the child of her womb?' In the case of my grandmother, the answer would have to be said, yes, she can forget. But Isaiah says, even though these forget, yet I will not forget you." You know, I asked Carol's permission to share what I was thinking about her and Don as I was preparing this sermon and came upon these words. And she added that she believes that people with dementia really have not forgotten. They just can't access their memories because of their disease. She said, "Don's sister had the same disease he had and could not respond verbally. But when Don bent down to talk with her, tears came out of her eyes." Carol believes that there's a recognition, even if we can't access it. What is it that God can forget? Well, you know what? God forgets our sin. God forgets the evil we do. Someone a long time ago put me in touch with an author, Eli Wiesel. He writes, as a Jewish philosopher, reflecting on the horrors of World War II and the concentration camps. He says in 1944, all the Jews of the Hungarian town of Szeged were rounded up and deported to a concentration camp. Elie Wiesel was one of them. He survived the Holocaust and 20 years later returned to that hometown again, and it pained him the most that the people of Szeged had erased the Jews from their memory. He writes, I was not angry with the people of Szeged for having driven out their neighbors of yesterday, nor of having denied them. If I was angry, it was anger that they have forgotten them so quickly. This story suggests that to forget our sins may be even a greater sin than to commit them. Why? Because what is forgotten cannot be healed, Elie Wiesel says. And that which cannot be healed easily becomes the cause of greater evil. In his many books about the Holocaust, Elie Wiesel does not remind us of Auschwitz or Buchenwald or Treblinka to torture our consciences with the heightened guilt feelings, but to allow our memories to be healed, he says, to prevent an even worse disaster. And then he includes this interesting phrase, an Auschwitz that is forgotten causes a Hiroshima. And a forgotten Hiroshima can cause destruction of our world. He writes, by cutting off our past, we paralyze our future. Forgetting the evil behind us, we evoke the evil in front of us. You see, the truth is, we cry out, how long have you forgotten? But God hasn't forgotten. Neither does he want us to forget. Oh, yes, he wants us to forgive. Yes, he wants us to get on with life. But God wants us to move on. The Bible says, I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no longer in Jeremiah. It, according to Isaiah, he says, I, who blot out your transgressions from my own sight, will remember your sins no more. In the New Testament, in Hebrews, for I will be merciful toward the iniquities, I will remember their sins no more, in Hebrews. And in the Psalms, perhaps the same voice complaining about being forgotten by God is now writing these words, for as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he removes our transgressions from us. Imagine what it would be like to remember every fight you ever had with a friend, every time someone let you down, all the stupid mistakes you go, oops, how did that come out of my mouth? And although my wife might remember some stupid arguments and stuff we've gone through, that's rarely the focus of our conversations. She might remember, but she doesn't always bring them up. Because the future will bring difficult times. We all know it. We all know that we're fallible human beings. And if God can forget, but cannot forget us, but can forget the stupid things we do and say, how much more? Let me close with one further illustration found in the 8th chapter of Genesis. Noah has built the ark. God says he's a righteous man. And when he builds the ark, he loads it with the animals, and the rains come down, and the water rises, and then there's these three little words, God remembered Noah. Chaos all around him, a smelly ark within. God remembered Noah. And then the seas departed, the ark was left, and Noah and his family were there, but not alone. They were there with God. You see, brothers and sisters, we are much more than what we remember. We are what God remembers. And God promises that He will never forget you. Not in COVID isolation, not in the pain of arthritic aching, not in the loss of a beloved one. God will not forget you. But He will forget your sins. Amen?
Amen. Amen.